and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The portion of Scripture for our meditation this morning is recorded for us in the book of Acts chapter 2, beginning with the first verse. This is our second lesson for today, this day of Pentecost. Dear friends in Christ, reliability is an important attribute to have, whether it's you as an individual or for your friends and family. You want to surround yourself with people who are reliable. Now, we know many people who are reliable, but we also know others who aren't so reliable. Some who make promises, some who say they're going to do things, don't have the ability to do it. Or they don't have the time to do it, or they simply just don't do it. Maybe they make a promise to you and with good intentions, but they rarely follow through. Or they just say what you want to hear and have no intention whatsoever to keep their promise. When they tell you to do something, you have learned over time not to trust them. And you say to yourself, okay, yeah, I'll believe it when I see it. Then there's the other side. Those who are reliable. Those who will keep a promise or do something for you, no matter how inconvenient it may be to them. There are those who almost always will keep their promise to you. Almost always. No one is completely reliable. No one is 100% reliable. We're sinners. Things happen. We forget. Maybe we're unable to do what we promised to do, even though we thought we could do it. Or some scheduling conflict comes up. Maybe someone went to the hospital. You can't make it. No one is 100% reliable. We have been burned by those who did fail to keep a promise. And we have done the same thing to others. Before Pentecost, the Lord made a promise to his disciples. Now we see him making that promise over and over again. A good example is found in our gospel for today. On Maundy Thursday, the day Jesus was betrayed and arrested, he made that promise to his disciples. The Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Although Jesus would be taken from his disciples, although he would eventually be up in heaven after his ascension, he would not leave his disciples alone. I will not leave you as orphans, he said. No, he sent the Holy Spirit to be with them. Now, it's a promise that Jesus reiterated to his disciples again. In Acts 1, we read Jesus promising his Holy Spirit right before his ascension. He said, "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Now, in a few days wasn't good enough for the disciples. They wanted to know exactly when Jesus was going to send the Holy Spirit. So Jesus replied, "It's not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." They were told in a few days, but they told they didn't know exactly when. So the disciples did what Jesus told them to do. They went to Jerusalem and waited. For 10 days, they waited from his ascension to Pentecost. That 10th day was the day of Pentecost, one of three pilgrimage festivals for the Jews. Now, the pilgrimage festivals were festivals that every male Jew was supposed to go to Jerusalem to celebrate. So people from all over the world were in Jerusalem to celebrate that festival. And the disciples were in the temple that day in a room when the Lord kept his promise. He sent His Holy Spirit. Now, there are three things that we see that God sent His Holy Spirit. The first is a sound of rushing wind, a loud noise of wind. Now, wind can sometimes be a marker of the presence of the Lord. That Greek word and the Hebrew word for spirit can also be translated wind. So there's a connection there. That connection wasn't lost on Jesus and His disciples on that first Easter evening. You may remember that Jesus appeared to them and He made wind. He breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." We also see tongues of fire. Fire that came down from heaven and separated on the disciples. Fire did not burn up their heads. Fire, too, is an indication of the presence of the Lord. Think of the pillar of fire that led the Israelites throughout the wilderness for 40 years. And that fire looked like tongues. Which points us to the third sign, this gift of speaking in tongues. Here were these uneducated country bumpkins from Galilee who had never learned these foreign languages that they're suddenly able to speak. All the people who had come throughout the world to Jerusalem to worship on Pentecost heard the gospel in their own native language. Not because the disciples had studied it, but because the Holy Spirit had given them the gift and ability to speak in these foreign languages. Now, we don't assume that the disciples kept this gift, and we don't assume that the Holy Spirit will give us this gift today. But remember what Jesus said, what the disciples were going to do when the Holy Spirit came upon them in power. They would preach the gospel throughout the world. So here is the indication by the Holy Spirit that they were going to do just that. They were going to spread the gospel throughout the world, and He was going to be with them the whole time. Everyone in the temple was amazed and somewhat confused. The disciples were able to do this. Some, of course, mocked them. They're drunk. So Peter stood up. So it's too early for these people to be drunk. No, this is the Lord keeping His promise. Not only His promises to us as His disciples, but His promise that He made hundreds of years before through the prophet Joel. It's Peter who tells us that this is the coming of the Holy Spirit. In the last days, God says, "I will pour out My Spirit on all people." So today we see how the Lord is reliable by sending His Holy Spirit. And if He didn't do so, we would be completely lost. We're born as enemies of God. Sinners who hated God, wanting nothing to do with God. We can do nothing but sin. Everything we did was against God's will and not done out of love and thanks to Him with the improper motivation. Our sins deserve nothing but God's wrath and punishment. So we can't save ourselves. There's nothing we can do to make amends for our sins. We deserve eternal damnation. Now it is faith that receives the blessings that Christ won for us on the cross. But by nature, we don't know God. By nature, we don't know who He is. We don't know His Son. We don't know what His Son did for us. And we don't believe. There's nothing in us that is inclined towards God. There's not some spark inside of us that leads us to God. There's nothing in us that would lead us to choose to believe in the Lord. If the choice was up to us, we would never choose to believe in the Lord. The message of the gospel is foolishness to unbelievers. That is why the Lord had to send His Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one who brings us to faith. He does this whenever and wherever the gospel is found, whether it's in word or whether it's in sacrament. The Holy Spirit is the one who brings us to faith, and he keeps us in the one true faith. It is Jesus who paid for our sins through his suffering and death on the cross, who defeated death through his resurrection. But we don't receive those gifts that he won for us without faith. That is why Paul can say, no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Toward the end of our text, Peter is still quoting the prophet Joel, which he talks about the last days, which the day of Pentecost entered in. And he said, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. All of us here today call on the name of the Lord, not because of ourselves, but because of the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit worked faith in us through our baptisms, through the Word, and kept us in the one true faith through the sacrament of Holy Communion and through the Word, we call on the name of the Lord. Through faith, which leads us to praise the Lord, we are saved. Because faith receives the blessings that Christ won for us by his suffering, death, and resurrection. Now our text for today only contains Peter's opening lines of his sermon. Now his sermon extended for a while, and much of it is written for us down in Acts chapter 2. Later on in this sermon, Peter again makes the connection between the Holy Spirit and faith. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Through baptism, the Holy Spirit gives us forgiveness. And through baptism, we receive that gift of the Holy Spirit, which is faith, faith which receives the blessing of forgiveness. Through baptism, the Holy Spirit lives in each one of us as he gives us knowledge and understanding and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Through the Holy Spirit, through that gift of the Holy Spirit, we will be saved as we call on the name of the Lord. Through that one sermon on the day of Pentecost, we are told that about 3,000 were brought to faith. 3,000 in just that one sermon. 3,000 were brought to faith. 3,000 were baptized. 3,000 were added to the number of Christians in that just one day. Now today is not just the day of Pentecost. As many of you know, today also marks the 65th anniversary of Holy Cross. It's hard to say how many people the Holy Spirit has brought to faith and kept in the one true faith in the 65 years of Holy Cross. I suppose if our records were accurate, we would be able to count up all the baptisms and confirmations and funerals and what have you that have taken place in the past 65 years of Holy Cross. But that only tells part of the story. Now that number will never be able to be known by us here on earth. But what we do know is this. The same Holy Spirit who brought 3,000 to faith in Pentecost almost 2,000 years ago is the same Holy Spirit today. And that Holy Spirit uses the same means. He still uses the means of grace and gospel and word and sacrament. He still uses that same message. That message of Christ's substitutionary sacrifice on the cross. The same message of his victory over death. It is that same gospel the Holy Spirit uses to bring people to faith and keep them in that one true faith. The same message of salvation by grace alone through faith apart from works. We praise and thank God then today that He has kept us faithful to this message for 65 years, and that He has given us the duty and honor and privilege of sharing that message of salvation to those in Standish and beyond. As the Lord says in Isaiah, "As the rain and snow come down from heaven, and do not return to it without watering the earth, and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it." The Lord's word does not return to Him empty. But as us as Christians, as us as a congregation, it's not our job to bring someone to faith. It's not our job to convince someone to believe. It is simply our job to be the sower, to spread the seed, to spread the gospel wherever and whenever, so the Holy Spirit can do His work. And because the Lord keeps His promise, we know that wherever the gospel is spread, the Holy Spirit will be right behind us, working through that gospel. To be honest, there have been times in the history of our congregation that we haven't necessarily done our jobs. We took the easy way out. We took the way that seemed in our own best interest and not in the interests of God. So today we don't necessarily look back, but we look forward and we do all we can to spread the gospel. We do all we can to help the spread of the gospel using our gifts and abilities. Whether that's telling our friends and family about the world's one and only Savior. Whether that's inviting a neighbor to church. Or teaching young children the truth of God's Word. Supporting the spread of the gospel through our earthly gifts by our offerings. Through prayer. By using the gifts and abilities to take care of the Lord's house, whatever, wherever we can, help with the spread of the gospel, that is what we do. Because we know that the Lord keeps His promises, sending us His Holy Spirit and saving all who call on His name. Throughout the years, we as individuals and as a congregation may not have been all that reliable. We may not have done all we could to help the spread of the gospel. So we do the best we can now. Rededicating ourselves to the teaching of the pure word of God within our congregation and to spreading the gospel to those in Standish and beyond. And since the Lord is faithful, since the Lord is reliable, we know that the labor in the Lord is not in vain. His word will not return to Him empty. We know that as we do our work and spread the seed of the gospel, the Holy Spirit is right there behind us, working faith through that word. And we know that He will bring many more to faith and keep them in the one true faith. So that many may call on the name of the Lord and be saved. Amen. Please stand. Now the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.